Engine support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello there, everyone. You've wandered back for another episode of Nurture and Support, where we share all of the awesome that we can find because the internet never sleeps and you have to. So we're helping you find more of the awesome stuff in the world to share with everybody that you know. I'm Mel, aka Karmic9 on Twitter and pretty much everywhere else on the internet. And we have a surprise for you tonight. And unsurprisingly, to tell you all about that surprise is Kelly.
Who's surprised that Mel's making Kelly tell about the surprise? But okay, I can do that. Hi, everybody. It's Kelly Tool at KellyThul on Twitter. Welcome back to. I'm wondering, Mel, if we need to also adjust the tagline to sharing all the awesome since 2013, but mostly Kelly shares stuff from 20 years ago. Something like that. We may want to work in there as well, but we'll see. But yeah, we have a. It's been a little while, the show, since we've had a guest, and we were lucky enough to have one today. We've got our good friend Mike from Official Pagan, from Snark Alec Radio, from Live 365 Loud and Loaded, a man of many interests and background joining us today, and a really cool guy. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm still a little bit lost in all the surprise layers of the build-up. It was sort of like Inception.
Hey, you know,
but
I try to bring some drama to the show, because normally I'm extremely boring, so occasionally I try to mix it up.
No, it was great. I was like, what's the surprise? And then as it got closer, yeah. I'm like, ah, oh, it's just me.
Everybody's going to
be super let down.
No, they're not. No. Our listeners are nurturing and supportive, and they're happy to hear somebody other than me and Kelly once in a while.
Well, I know they're nurturing and supportive. It's in the title, and titles don't lie.
Right, right. Exactly. Especially ours.
Well, again, I'd like to point out ours is kind of sort of in italic for a reason. So
there's an asterisk next to it. Yeah. A very lengthy description.
There's a reason for that maybe not so nice font that's being used on the logo. That might give you a clue that sometimes we're a little sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah, that font, by the way, is called Squealer, in case you're wondering. So it's a nice kind of quasi heavy metal font. So it's a good font. It's a good font.
Yes.
So Mike, I did a poor introduction for you, because you have done many things and are involved in many things. Do you have to, maybe before we get rolling on the recommendations, give the folks a little bit of background on some of the stuff that you do?
Yeah, I do stuff, and it's fun.
That's awesome. Good job.
Probably the thing that I've done that most people would know is this movie called Evil Bong with Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong. Which has become a franchise that I have nothing to do with, but it's cool that it's out there. And so a lot of people know that. I also make music with my band Pagan, and I do some writing and some other things. And I have this radio station called Live 365. There's some fun shows on it. Snark Alec Radio, which Kelly is on, and Mel used to be on.
Yes. Tell us a little bit more about your band. I know it's rather popular in your area.
I'm sorry?
It's popular, I hear.
It's not my personal
genre, but I think Kelly has more experience in it.
You seem more like a death metal girl to me.
Death metal. Well, I had a small period, but it was a long time ago.
It was just a phase?
It was a small phase, yes, it was.
Yeah. So is Pagan still a Hanson cover band? Is that your primary?
Well, that's how it started, but I feel like we've sort of branched off into some other things. We stick to all the classic rock, though, Hanson, Spice Girls, a little bit of 98 Degrees.
Oh, for all of our listeners out there who don't know, that was sarcasm. That was an absolute untruth that Mike just told you.
We never do 98 Degrees covers.
No, they only do Bieber. So we'll put a link up to, you have a YouTube channel, if I recall, with music.
Yeah, there's a couple of music videos up on YouTube. Probably the best one to ease yourself into it is there's a song called Bitter that I did with Richard Fortus from Guns N' Roses, and that's a song that a lot of people seem to, it's a good gateway drug.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like that song. We'll have a link to all of that and the many places that all of you can find Mike, per usual, up on the blog post. So if you don't check the website, people, please go check it out. We put links and stuff up there for your own good. It's not like we're trying to help or anything.
Yeah.
It's like the beyond of Bed Bath & Beyond.
Exactly.
That's what I've aspired to my whole life.
Yeah, and the other very cool thing is that after in-depth, lengthy negotiations, nurture and support will now also be available on Mike's internet radio channel on Live 365 and the Loud and Loaded channel. And we're really excited about that. That's very cool.
The negotiations were extremely difficult. There was tears and blood, and police were called at various points because of the noise complaints. But we got through it, though. And that was just for Mel.
Yeah, well, that's...
There was ice cream, I heard. You know, so I showed up for the negotiations. They told me there would be ice cream.
There's nothing better than ice cream.
That's how most people get hooked into these things.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Speaking
that was actually
of
when I when I applied to college. You know, you have to write on your application an essay usually to go along with your college application. Mine, that I went to the Art Institute, and the title of your – well, the theme of it had to be, what can the Art Institute do for you? And I wrote a 10-page essay called I Like Ice Cream. So
hey, get you into college.
I did get in. So I'm not sure if they had a good sense of humor or maybe the standards were really, really low that year.
10 pages on ice cream, I mean, that's good. That shows true dedication. And if you can do that, then you can make it in the academic world. So kudos to you.
Well, I think my only reference to what the Art Institute could do for me was at the very end. I was like, as you can see, I love ice cream and I need a college education to get a job to continue my ice cream usage or something along those lines.
Which is absolutely the truth. That was not a lie.
No, no. I guess they were like, hey, if all he aspires to do is to be able to buy ice cream, this is the school for him.
Oh, I wish I'd been that creative on mine.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't find it surprising, to be candid. It would seem to me... I could see that, but yeah, but we're super excited so that I don't think there's any knitting content on Loud and Loaded. Is that correct, Mike?
You know, in the beginning there was. We had a hardcore knitting following, but after the great knitting wars of last year, that kind of fell by the wayside, and the non-knitters took over.
And to clarify, the knitters I'm referring to are knitters who podcast and do better than us on iTunes. Those are the bad knitters. Mel's a knitter, and she's a good knitter. But those
It's okay to be a knitter and to podcast so long as you're below you guys in the stats.
True.
Yes. Okay. That's all we ask.
Yes.
Very reasonable
just,
request.
If you're going to knit and podcast, just suck at it worse than us, and we'll be fine. We'll be buds.
Yep.
So I think we will get into recommendations. It's my turn to start this week. And I sort of have mentioned this movie in one of my previous recommendations because it shares a particular actor. But I am going to bet that both of you have seen this. And so I'm going to give you some of the actors in it. And I want y'all to tell me if you recognize the movie because it's an old movie. It's from 1991, so we'll start there. 1991.
Ice Castle.
It was not Ice Castle.
Is it in black and white?
No.
You said 91, so.
I know, 91. I'm not sure I had a color television, but.
It's in my wheelhouse, man.
Yes. I that's why I figure you've seen it. So, it had a star-studded cast. Andy McDowell, Danny Aiello, James Coburn, Richard E. Grant, who I recommended in Warlock. That's where I know I mentioned this movie. Sandra Bernhardt, and here's the giveaway, Bruce Willis. Does anybody know the name of this movie?
Hudson Hawk.
You got it. So if any of our listeners figured it out just from the cast, tweet at me or give us a comment on the blog post and tell me that you knew it because I love this movie. It's like a bad sci-fi movie, only they showed it at the theaters. It's a little better made. It's totally fun. The premise of this movie is Bruce Willis is a cat burglar, and he has just finished serving 10 years in prison for being a burglar. And Danny Aiello picks him up from prison, and they're buds, and they have a bar together, and, you know, they're starting off on this new life. Well, immediately as he's getting out of prison, his parole officer is trying to blackmail him into doing another job. So all of this hilarity ensues because it ends up being an international burglary where he needs to steal a bunch of artwork from Leonardo da Vinci's collection scattered across in these big high-risk museums. The real stars of this show, as you might guess, would be Sandra Bernhardt. And though he doesn't get enough credit for it, Richard E. Grant, who I talked about in Warlock. I love him. He's been in a million things. And it always irritates me that he doesn't get some of the top billing in this. He's not even listed in the little blurb on IMDb. It makes me angry. They play the Mayflowers, Darwin and Minerva Mayflower. And they're these crazy billionaires. And they're set on world domination. And if you know anything about Sandra Bernhardt, you know that she always plays these crazy, shrill characters. She also has a little, looks like a little toy fox terrier named Bunny. And I think I tweeted it out earlier. One of the catchphrases in the movie is, "Bunny, ball, ball," where she throws the ball for Bunny. And you can probably figure where that term goes in different places in this movie. Bunny likes to attack people to that phrase as well. So it works out humorously, sometimes good, sometimes bad for Bruce Willis. But Andy McDowell is a nun who works undercover for the Vatican, protecting their collection from cat burglars like Bruce Willis's character. He is the title character, Hudson Hawk. So a bunch of craziness that really, I can't really describe just how crazy it gets, or I would give away all the fun parts of the movie. It's just one funny little one-liner type sort of goofball after another. This is not something that you want to watch expecting a serious drama. It is goofy. It's supposed to be goofy, so you kind of have to be in the right frame of mind to sit down and watch it. I've always said that when we live tweet the sci-fi Saturday night movies, you know, if you're not in the right frame of mind, those movies will drive you up the wall and you will gouge your eyes out. So you have to be in the right frame to sit down and really enjoy these movies. If you're being too serious about it, this movie will drive you absolutely bonkers. But James Coburn, who is awesome, plays a CIA team leader, and he's got an entire team of characters who are named after candy bars, which is a vast improvement from what they used to be called. A year ago, all of their names were based on diseases. One of the characters had to go for a whole year being called Chlamydia. So she's now Almond Joy and is much happier with that name. But some of the other cast in here was Andrew Brynarski, I think is how you say his name. He played Butterfinger, one of the CIA agents, and he is this huge, big guy who really did an excellent job of playing a complete idiot on this big, big behemoth, stupid behemoth in this movie. Why I mention him is he is Leatherface in the 2003 and 2006 Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. He plays Leatherface. But more importantly to me, he was in Firefly. He played Crow in Firefly, the train job episode. He's the one who gets kicked into the Firefly's engines, the jet engines at the end of the episode. So he's this big, huge, hulking guy. He looks completely different way back in 1991. It was a very long time ago. And he looked so much younger, like a little high school football guy. Also, someone else to note in there is Frank Stallone, played a mafia character who, funnily enough, they do make a few Nintendo references in this movie. He and his brother were called the Mario Brothers. But Frank Stallone, for any of you that don't know, is Sylvester Stallone's brother. And if you look him up on IMDb, he's quite talented. He's a singer. And that leads me to one of the other favorite things I have about Hudson Hawk is, while you can't call it a musical, kind of Hudson Hawk's little shtick is that he knows the exact lengths of all of these different songs. And that's how he times his burglaries, is that he sings his way through them, and that gives him his timing. So through the course of the movie, you're treated to a few instances of Bruce Willis singing a couple of different songs. And they're very entertaining. So, you know, don't think I'm crazy. Give it a chance if you haven't seen Hudson Hawk, because I think it is wonderfully funny and very goofy, and it's just enjoyable. You know, sit down with a margarita and watch Hudson Hawk, and you will laugh your butt off. So it's fun. I suggest everybody go check it out if you haven't seen it before. And unfortunately, I don't think it's up on Netflix. A lot of these really old movies aren't. But I can tell you it's in a Blu-ray double pack with Hollywood Homicide for like dirt cheap. Blu-ray, that, you know, there are no special Blu-ray anythings on it. It is just a single Blu-ray disc with both movies on it. There's no specials, no anything, but I think it was $5. So, it's worth picking up if you see it in the bargain bin somewhere, just for Hudson Hawk. I actually have not seen Hollywood Homicide, so I got it for Hudson Hawk, who I enjoy. So check it out if you haven't seen it. It's really funny, and it's got Bruce Willis in it, and he sings. And I like almost all Bruce Willis movies, so there's another thing you know about me now.
So, Mike, I know you're a big movie guy. Have you seen Hudson Hawk?
I love Hudson Hawk. This is actually one of my favorite movies.
Yep.
Well, so I just wanted to provide some context through, because, you know, the polite thing when Mel was quizzing us would have been allowed the guest to take a first shot at it, which I figured you probably had got figured out. But I felt it was more important to demonstrate to Mel that I actually listened to what she said, because I don't know if you noticed the little keywords in the beginning. I've mentioned this before on a show, which to me was a bit of a, hey, Kelly.
A little bit like, yeah, are you listening?
So let's find out if that. Kelly's
well,
been listening.
You know what, though, too? It did take me a second. And I didn't have it on the first couple of cast members, because to me, Hudson Hawk, in addition to being a Bruce Willis movie, it's really a David Caruso film to me.
I wanted to mention his character, but I wasn't sure anybody would really get it. I love his character in this movie. He plays a character named Kit Kat, and he never says a word. He has all of these
his
little
finest acting performance.
It was beautiful. I love it. Oh, it's definitely one of those little quirks that's in there that just, you know, comes up and gives you a laugh every time he shows up on the screen. It's funny.
Plus, I love movies with musical numbers in them that aren't actual musicals.
Right.
So that's, yeah. That's the quick way to my heart with any film.
Well, it's a good one. It's an old one that a lot of people haven't seen, which perturbs me sometimes, but... I really like it. I think people should see it more.
I had about 10 years of strong Bruce Willis hatred that I can't really put a finger on why, but that coincided with I'll have nothing to do with this man thing. So I didn't get a chance to see it. I've evolved since then. I'm not sure really what went. It's kind of like the enemy of the state list. I don't really remember why people are on it, but they're on it. I'm sure it's for a good reason. I'm sure.
Wait,
I didn't
do you
like
remember why I'm on the enemy of the state list?
I do. Actually, for you, I do. But some people make it easier than others. And I also know why Mel's on the list. And by the way, a little reminder for folks there, Mel is the only person who has been on the list and then off the list and then back on the list in the short. She was off the list for like a minute.
Wait, how do you get off of the list?
Mel, she's nice. I really couldn't justify saying, how can I have this very nice person on the enemies of the state list? But she had said something bad about Alice Cooper that put her on the list. And then I reflected and said, oh, that's probably, I overreacted. But then she went right back again and took a shot at Alice again. So she went right
back.
So
is there any chance that I'm going to be taken off of the list at some point?
I find the odds of that remote. I really do.
at least you came around to Hudson Hawk, though.
Yeah, I've still not seen it. I am open to seeing it, and now with Mel's recommendation.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Okay. I have not seen it. I missed the window, and so.
Well, I can send you my copy. I think you'll like it. This is shortly after Die Hard 2, so it's early. You know, given 1991, it's very early Bruce Willis, but it is
very
right
similar
after.
Films too.
I'm sorry.
Very similar films.
Yes. There was some singing in Die Hard, wasn't there? There was a little bit of singing. Didn't he sing some in Die Hard?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I saw those, which I enjoy those. And it's the holidays coming up, and I'm sorry, I consider the original Die Hard definitely to be a holiday film.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies, along with Gremlins and Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Which I finally saw last year.
Which one, Gremlins or Silent Night, Deadly Night?
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, those are my kind of holiday movies.
Absolutely. I have a Silent Night, Deadly Night poster signed by some members of the cast that I hang up around Christmas time. It's a beautiful thing.
That's cool. So I don't think we decided who was going next. Y'all want to duke it out?
Well, no, we'll let Mike go next. Always kind of like to nurture and support our guest. we'll put him in the ampersand role there. So.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Kelly.
You're quite welcome.
Well, then I guess my recommendation would be Big Hero 6.
Okay. Disney I haven't seen movie. It yet.
You haven't seen it yet? Oh, it's really good. Okay, so I'm going to tell the whole story of seeing the movie, but I do have one little thing that I need to kind of add on for anybody who's listening to this. I was aware going into this that it was based on a comic book, but I knew nothing about the comic book, and I know now that that has almost nothing to do with the comic book. So I should throw it out there that if you're a fan of the comic book and listening to this, pretty sure you're going to hate the movie.
Is that why I've seen some hate about it? Okay. Because I've been confused by the mixed reviews that I've seen people giving it, and I haven't really looked into it. I know I saw a trailer for it quite a while back that I thought it looked adorable.
Yeah, and the comic book is not an adorable comic book.
That's the problem then, huh?
Yeah. So, because I knew it was a comic book. I knew it was part of the whole Marvel Disney thing that they have going on. So I knew all of that, but I knew nothing about the book. And I thought it was kind of cool that they were taking maybe a lesser known book and turning it into something. And I saw the movie, and the movie was great. And then I came home and I, Googled it. And I'm looking at the pictures of the comic book characters. I'm like, wow, this is so far off from this. It's like, I'm pretty sure they never read the comic book. They were just like, Big Hero 6, that's a good title.
And that's quite likely. Yeah.
I think that's probably as far as they delved into the comic book. Based on everything that I've now read up on the comic and talked to some friends who've read the comic, that's about all they have in common is the title and a couple of characters' names. So if you're a fan of the comic, you'll probably hate the movie. So I should preface it with that. But if you've never read the comic, it's awesome, and you should definitely go see it. We took my nephew, CJ, to see it, who is 3 years old, and he is right now obsessed with robots. So every time the trailer would come on TV, he runs up to the front of the TV and goes, robots, and points at the TV. So he made it very clear that he wanted to see this film. Yeah. And he would grab you by the hand and walk you to the TV just in case you weren't nearby and point and say, robots. So we took him to the movie, and he was – I think anything that's a kid's movie, first and foremost, you have to make sure that, they're actually enjoying the movie. And he sat there for the full hour and a half or whatever it was, completely enthralled by everything that was on the screen. It's a very fast-paced movie, just action sequence to action sequence. There is one part where it slows down for about 2 minutes for this emotional beat when something happens to one of the main characters, to which he turned to me, leaned in, and pulled me close and said, what happened to the robots? I was like, I'm pretty sure they'll be right back. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But what was cool about it, though, is as much as like he enjoyed it because it was loud and flashy and everything like that, it was, to me, more like the Lego movie, where I think older kids and adults got way more out of the movie than the younger kids did. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of references to like kaiju monster suit battle movies and things like that that I'm pretty sure my 3-year-old nephew isn't that well versed in yet. Mm-hmm. He will be, but yet.
That sounded like a threat.
If he knows what's good for him. Well, we just did RoboCop not that long ago, so the education is starting. So
new RoboCop or old RoboCop?
So it started with the new RoboCop because I hadn't seen the remake, so I rented the remake, and I was going to sit down and watch it and wasn't going to watch it with him. He's like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "RoboCop," and he goes, "HoboCop."
That'd have been a better movie.
But that's an incredible movie. I love where your head's at right now. I might steal that. So we sat down and watched the remake, and he was really into that. And I was like, "Oh, you have no idea. You would love it. So let's just watch it." So we watched the original, and he was into that too. So I think that might have gotten the robot ball rolling a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Big Hero 6 was really cool, and I don't know how you guys feel about Disney movies, but they've sucked for a long time.
Be careful. Kelly's owned by Disney.
I'm not talking about Pixar movies. I'm talking about actual Disney productions.
Uh-huh. I'm indifferent.
Yeah, I just, so it's tough because Princess and the Frog, Randy Newman, a lot of Randy Newman, influence, and obviously he wrote the soundtrack, and he plays one of the Glowbugs, Cousin Randy. So, you know, that's, I'm pretty, it's, you put Alice Cooper in Dark Shadows, and I'm going to love that movie. You got Randy Newman in that, you know, so then I'm a pretty easy mark.
I feel like we're veering a little bit off, but I didn't, as a Dark Shadows fan, like fan of the original Dark Shadows show, I didn't hate the remake as much as I thought I would. That's not a super glowing review, I know, but I really like every little piece of information about it other than the fact that Alice Cooper appeared in it made me hate that movie venomously before I saw it. And
yeah, I refused to see it.
You refused to see it, is that what you said?
Yeah, I wouldn't see it. However, I did not know that Alice Cooper was in it.
Does that turn it around for you?
Possibly, maybe a little bit, but I don't know. I really don't have any interest.
It starts off great. Okay. Great. Like the first, I would even go first half of the movie is excellent, and then it completely falls apart to the point where you're not sure why you started watching it to begin with.
Right.
And that coincides with Alice shows up about in the middle, and then, you know, after that, it's all downhill. It's, you know.
The disappointment.
It's like, where's the Cooper woman, you know? It was good, but it was, you can put this on your list of movies that Alice Cooper's in that you need to watch, Mel, but you still need to keep another one ahead, which is.
It's actually made its way out of the depths of the DVD drawer, and Suck is now laying right on top of the DVD player, the Blu-ray player. I will watch it. I swear.
You will be sending me an email as soon as you're done saying, "Thank you, Kelly. I apologize for taking so long to watch Suck." Moby as the lead singer of, he's the lead singer of Secretaries of State, which their fans throw steaks at them. So.
I swear. I will
Suck
watch
was
it.
A good movie also, but I mean, if you're going to get into musical horror type things, I would start with Monster Dog.
Oh, as big an Alice Cooper fan as I am, I don't know if I'd recommend that.
Really? I love it. People watch Monster Dog.
Oh, I don't know.
When they come over my house.
Kelly made me watch like a video of the song, but it wasn't the movie. It was a video from the song. I liked it.
Yeah, Identity Crises. So it's a good tune. It's great.
That gets sung a lot in my house. A lot. Mostly me.
But eventually, your nephew will be singing it if he knows what's good for him.
You beat it in everyone else's head, though, after a while. Yeah. Watch Monster Dog. But no, putting aside your obvious love for Randy Newman, can you really say that there's been great Disney movies, though,
recently? Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair.
And I would say, with the exception of the comic book fans, this is a movie that I think puts me in mind of the great classic sort of Disney movies. It's got great characters. The villain looks awesome, the design of the villain. And again, maybe that's completely different than the comic book. But the villain looks awesome. The characters are cool. It's funny. There's lots of action. And it really is something that adults can enjoy as much, if probably more than the kids do.
Yeah, I liked that about the old one. Like, what was it? The old Animaniacs and things like that that we enjoy, or I enjoyed when I was too young to get the jokes. And then as you get older, you're like, wait a minute, that was kind of dirty. I watched that after school every day.
I have a friend who's a stand-up comedian who does this lengthy bit based around Animaniacs and doesn't even say that it's animated, just to make it more obscure and make less people understand it. He talks about the Animaniac characters and makes really obscure references to the show so that like four people in the audience at most will possibly laugh about it. But it is a great bit.
Awesome. For those four.
he'll go into it like a sold out crowd of 100 people and make me and one other person laugh at this obscure Animaniacs joke.
I loved Animaniacs. I have a couple of box sets this season too. Oh, well, I have a
problem.
Keep those
back in the bin. You got other things to get to first.
I know. But I wanted to mention another movie that we've talked about previously on the show that's robot-related is Runaway.
Oh, yes.
You need to show them the three-year-old Runaway. If he can handle RoboCop, he can handle Gene Simmons and Runaway.
Yeah, I would.
I was gonna say the only thing about Runaway is Gene Simmons, because you don't want to turn people into Kiss fans accidentally.
It didn't happen to me. I loved that movie, and I never really got into Kiss. Kelly's made me watch a few Kiss videos.
we pulled a couple clips of Kiss in the Phantom of the Park.
Okay, that's the one exception then. I had to buy. Because there's a lot of bootleg copies of the Kiss and the Phantom of the Park thing, but they finally put out an official DVD of it, all remastered and everything, but it's part of a Kiss DVD box set.
Oh.
I don't own a single Kiss CD, but I bought that Kiss DVD box set for that movie.
Oh, no.
How do you remaster that? That's what I want to know. I don't know what to...
Oh.
And it has like extra footage in it too, so it's like 2 hours long. It's like the extended version of it.
Oh god! Oh, there should be a law against that.
Nightmares. Oh, it was funny. The parts I saw of it.
So on our wide-ranging Big Hero 6 recommendation.
I know. I see, we're digressing all over the place.
I feel like we stuck in six other recommendations.
We did, which we have a tendency to do. We haven't done that in a long time, so, you know, it was overdue.
That's right. We're kind of getting back to the mean or the average on some of this stuff. But so I found it really interesting because I was a big Lego movie fan. Really, really enjoyed it. And so Mike, you drew some parallels between the two. I mean, is it just the nature of it in terms of, so it just is that thing where it works on both levels, adult or whatever, or is kind of a little bit of the tonality and the style of the humor the same, or is it do they go kind of a different way in Big Hero 6?
I would say I'm making the comparison more in general terms.
Mm-hmm.
It works for both, but with this and with the Lego movie, I really felt like they were both geared more towards adults than kids. Like, when I watched the Lego movie, other than the fact that it's Legos that are moving and talking, I don't see where the appeal would be to a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they're following the story or actually getting the jokes. They're just into
the bright,
talking
bright,
Legos.
Shiny colors.
Which is enough for me, though, too. Like, talking Legos, I was sold. Like, I'm pretty sure I just saw, like, a little blurb, like, they're making a Lego movie. I was like, yes, I'm there, first week.
Lego Batman.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who's also a good singer. I mean, I do like the Batman song's probably the highlight of the Lego movie for me.
Yeah, I love that.
Awesome. Well, I will definitely be taking you up on your recommendation there, Mike, and I'm going to And so I'm also guess that probably a little better. You're talking about a lot of action and a lot of stuff going on. Probably a good big screen experience versus waiting for the home video, I assume.
I did enjoy watching on the big screen. It is also in 3D, and we did not go for the 3D just because I didn't know with a 3-year-old how well that was going to work with keeping the glasses on him. Or me, to be honest. You get enough soda in me and stuff, I start getting rammy. You never know what's going to happen.
I don't personally like a lot of the 3D. It works in some movies, and others it just gives me a headache. So.
I mean, the movies where I think it works the best are actually the movies that are sort of lighter on story, is where, where it's kind of more effective.
Dazzle like, you, your eyes.
And that's really what, like, I always say, like, the best 3D movie that I probably ever saw was, like, the last Final Destination movie. That looked incredible in 3D, because if you took away the 3D, though, I mean... But yeah, I mean, I think with 3D movies, it actually works better on the movies that are lighter in story. Like a really good example, and I'm sorry if I offend anybody with this, is Avatar. Avatar seemed awesome in IMAX in 3D. Yeah. And then watching it on TV, and you're like, oh, this is just a really, really crappy Aliens remake without Sigourney Weaver.
You know, a little Pocahontas thrown in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say I'm not a fan of Avatar, probably because I have a few family members who are huge fans and they watch it every time it comes on, and given that it's a monstrously long movie, it's now become a holiday movie apparently, because
that's
think it's
weird.
Just for the time limit, it, because it's like 4 hours long,
yeah,
oh, let's
it is
do
really
it every
long.
Holiday.
It's yeah. really long, and what's interesting about it is watch Aliens first.
I love Aliens.
How much dialogue is recycled. From Aliens and Avatar, it's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Like, entire exchanges between characters.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well,
I'll check that out.
It worked so well in Aliens, they thought they had to redo it. Yeah. Now, I will tell y'all my big problem with Avatar is you've got this, and I may have missed if they ever tried to explain this, but you know how all of the animals seem to have 6 limbs? But the big blue people only have 4. That's not how it works. The monkeys on this planet had 6 limbs, but the people only have 4. And I'm like, shouldn't they? They're missing an extra set of arms. That's just. But they wouldn't look as hot as big blue chick. The big blue chick would not look as hot if she had an extra set of arms. So we're just gonna ignore
speak
the
for
biology
yourself,
going
Mel.
On here.
I find an extra set of arms attractive on a woman.
I'm just like, really? And I get yelled at every time that movie comes on and someone tries to watch it, and I have to point that out, and I'm told how I'm ruining it and I need to go away. So anyway, that's my big complaint. I thought I needed to share it with everybody because it just really, really irks me every time I see that movie.
No, it's not a good movie. But again, seeing it in IMAX in 3D, it was visually impressive, but there's almost no storyline, and huge portions of dialogue are directly lifted from Aliens.
Yep.
So to recap your recommendation, Mike, it's Big Hero 6, Suck, Monster Dog, Final Destination in 3D.
Only in 3D.
Not the English Patient in 3D. Not the English Patient ever in 3D. And No to Avatar. And if you even think about watching Avatar, get a hold of Mel and she'll explain to you why you shouldn't watch it.
Yeah. It's just too long, man. They needed to cut 2 hours out of that movie. Maybe then my opinion would change, but no.
Probably not.
The movie's too long.
Cool. Well, definitely, like I said, definitely going to see Big Hero 6. Looking forward to it. And I won't read the comics so that I can enjoy it, I think. This is what I need to do. So that'll be cool on there. Okay, cool. Well, I will go next. And I'm going to do a non-movie recommendation. I'm actually recommending an album. This is from an artist that I have recommended some of his work before. So Mel should be familiar. So this is a Graham Parker again, coming back with Graham Parker. I did Struck by Lightning a few shows ago, and that was a 1991 release, which is, you know, in my – this is 5 years later. This is 1996, so I'm rocketing towards the future here. This is, you know, almost contemporary. The name of the album is Acid Bubblegum, and so – on the last time I brought up Graham Parker, one, I loved there was like a Rolling Stone review of Struck by Lightning that says, this is Graham Parker in Van Morrison mode, only less mystical and more pissed off, which I thought was just a wonderful description of Graham Parker. And during that conversation with Mel, I talked about kind of Graham Parker's arc, which is super angry young man, pub rock, punk rock guy at the beginning, eventually gets finds true love, gets married, softens in the middle, starts to talk about relationships and happiness, and still a great musician, but tone it, a lot of the anger comes out of the music, kind of comes a little more calm. And then this actually, I like my Graham Parker angry. That's my favorite Graham Parker is angry Graham Parker. And this was the return of angry Graham Parker, is that he goes, hey, wait a second, I'm mad. And so he went back in with acid bubblegum to return to having a little bit more edge to his stuff, and was very welcome from there. But even his albums in the middle, there's some really great music, but I like my Graham Parker angry. And so this is acid bubblegum is back to that. It is interesting because I think he's out of practice on being angry, because he picks a couple targets we'll talk through here that are a little interesting on there. But the album starts off with a really kind of peppy little organ riff and almost a marching band kind of thing. And you start to go, what's this all about? And it breaks into a nice toe-tapping number called Turn It Into Hate is the name of the first song. And it's about the Gulf War and about the idea of kind of a pep band, kind of let me get people all excited about something, and it's about kind of riling people up and turning it into hate. But he does it in kind of a peppy little band number. So it is a little bit about the jingoism and turning it into hate. So it's this kind of strange combination of kind of peppy, happy song and kind of some back to that kind of viper, strong snarl of Graham Parker, which is always really cool. And then it goes next into a song called Sharpening Axes. And one of the kind of longstanding issues that Graham Parker has, and I support him on this, is he realizes that, hey, I'm actually kind of good. And there's a lot of people who aren't as good as me that do a lot better than me and sell a lot more stuff. And I'm not real happy about that. And so sometimes he's not happy with how his record label protected him, and so or you know, advanced his stuff, and so he writes a song like Mercury Poisoning about working with mercury, and so Sharpening Axes is kind of, again, him coming back in a little bit to it kind of kicks off with, I'm not selling molasses, I'm not selling tea, I don't appeal to the masses, and they don't appeal to me. And he just kind of gets in there, and it's just a little bit of this kind of awareness of, hey, I'm doing stuff. I think it's pretty good. I, at this point, I'm at peace that people aren't going
to
like it.
I need to get that tattoo.
Yeah.
Not selling tea. I like
that. Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, and it's done with that nice Graham snarl and poke into it. And then, so you thought, okay, had that nice peppy kind of dark thing to begin with. That was nice. Then the second one of them comes in right after that, which is called Get Over It and Move On. Which includes, so within this album, there are two portions of lyrics that I'm fairly certain are the first time that these sentences have ever been spoken, ever. And this is the first occurrence of one, which Get Over It and Move On is basically this long litany of all the things that have happened to him, and he just needs to get over it and move on. About, you know, celebrities have pulled out his teeth and made him clean their homes, and he's had operations that would chill you to the bone. And then the lyric, I've been charged with homicide for killing garden gnomes, is kind of there. And I said, I don't think I've ever heard that before. But he's faced a lot of things, including a homicide charge for garden gnomes. And it's just also a really cool song. Followed by the kind of centerpiece of the album, which is Bubblegum Cancer. And it's that whole idea of sweet on the outside, rotten on the inside is bubblegum cancer, that kind of combination of pink bubblegum and black on the inside. But it's a peppy little number. It's a lot about bubblegum cancer. It's a lot about capitalism and marketing and selling people stuff that they don't need. And This is, he name checks kind of through this album quite a bit. Jane Fonda at this point gets a call out because this is during the time when Jane was married to Ted Turner. And so Jane had always been kind of pretty noted for her forward-thinking social programs. But as she married Ted Turner, she had no problem going to a Braves game and doing the tomahawk chop with everybody else at the Braves game. And he kind of points that out in the song. Mm-hmm. So a little name check for Jane there. Then it goes into Impenetrable, which is the Mike Bilinski name check for you, Mike, because Impenetrable is about him creating this barrier between these people that he's surrounded by, who he does not think are particularly good people, including a girl that has in the lyric has got Axl Rose tattooed across her ass. So that's actually in there. And so I thought you'd like the Axl Rose name check there, Mike. And so then it moves on there. Obsessed with Aretha. He actually goes after Aretha Franklin in terms of saying that she's become a little too commercial and, you know, she's still got soul, but not that much. Yeah, not that much. And so Graham kind of goes after here. And then again, because I think getting back to being familiar with being angry was his new territory for him. He's always really good at it, and there's a snarl, and it's really great. But I'm just kind of wondering, you know, in the past, Graham Parker would pick fights with, things like God. So he'd do, hey, Lord, don't ask me questions, and he'd be kind of, this is my big debate. He's kind of scaled it back on this album, and so he goes after Aretha Franklin, and in Bean Counter, accountants. And so he really doesn't like accountants at all, and mouse clickers and all these kinds of things. But it's a really cool song. We move on from there. He does a little reggae and Baggage, and Milk Train, which is a great song that I have absolutely no clue what it's about, but it's a nice sounding song. A couple ballads in there as usual. Girl at the End of the Pier is a beautiful song that ends with the girl at the end of the pier jumping off the pier. So that's the kind of typical Graham Parker moment from there. So really strong music, a return back to angry Graham Parker, clever lyrics, great voice, good guitar. It's a fun listen. No clowns murdered on this album, Mel. I know that when we did the last one, I had the clown murder on the last one. But the other quote I had mentioned kind of, I've been charged with homicide for killing garden gnomes as one quote. The other one was a jet-lagged Jiminy Cricket, which was I believe that's actually in Milk Train is when that comes up. And so I never really quite understood what a jet-lagged Jiminy Cricket was. But it is a Disney character, which ties back to Mike's recommendation. And it's a bunch of songs, which ties back to Mel's recommendation. That's because of Hudson Hawk. So pulling it all together for us at the end on recommendations. So
yep.
Graham Parker, Acid Bubblegum. Pretty fun stuff. On Spotify, you can definitely, those first four songs at a minimum are just a really strong listen. So
cool. So you already checked. They're on Spotify. Yay.
Yes, I did.
Good. That's cool, because I like Spotify.
So, Mike, had you had a chance to either listen to it back in the day or get a chance recently to catch up on Acid Bubblegum or not?
So I had heard it before, and when we were talking about doing the show and you gave me the spoiler of what your recommendation was going to be, I put it into my Beats playlist, but I hit random at some point in my Beats playlist, so I got those songs at the strangest couplings of music. So it'd be like a death metal song, then a Graham Parker song, then like a jazz song, and then another song off of this, then there'd be a rap song, and another song off of this. So it made it a really interesting listen. But yeah, I did re-listen to it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to see him get back to a little bit of an edge, which then he kind of sustained through some more. And so, won't be the last Graham Parker recommendation on Nurture and Support, but this is in kind of going through. I kept forgetting that this is just such a strong, fun album, and just him really returning back to form on a couple things. So I recommend head over to Spotify, give it a listen. I think you're gonna. Bubblegum Cancer, at least. Give that a good listen. A little toe tapping song about the evils of capitalism cast as cancer. So.
Absolutely. So I think that brings us into social media recommendations. I guess, am I going to go first this time?
Sounds good.
All right. My social media recommendation this week is Patrick Smith on Twitter. And his handle on Twitter, and I'm going to spell it for you because I'm not actually, I think it's at the Clurican. Clurican? I'm not sure how you say it. I've never been able to actually say this word. It's at TheClurican. And Patrick is a super nice guy who runs a late night movie little Twitter group every Saturday night. And everybody is welcome to join in the chat room that they do. They watch a YouTube movie. But he's a super nice guy, and I always enjoy his tweets. And he is nice enough to continue to invite me to late night movie, even though I haven't been able to make it lately. But all of y'all are welcome to join in. Just hit Patrick up on Twitter, and he'll give you the links. So at TheClurican, that's Patrick Smith on Twitter. And I think y'all will like him.
He's also an enemy of the state, if you're keeping track.
So. That's always a plus, y'all.
You guys don't understand how this list works.
See, I don't know. You keep
saying that, but I look at it as a badge of honor.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Oh, apparently it does, though.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. So, Mikey, do you have a social media recommendation for us?
Yes, I do. Well, I mean, can I recommend myself, or is that
you
weird?
No, that would be fine.
No, I won't do that, though. I'll do an actual social media recommendation, because it just should, you know, it should be known you should be following me, I feel like.
And yeah, which I don't think. Will be in the blog post.
Yeah, we'll be in the blog post, because I don't know if at the beginning, with my limited plugging capabilities, I don't think we did mention it's at Official Pagan, Mike's Twitter handle, but it'll be all over the blog post, so people won't be able to miss it, because we have an adult in charge of the blog post, so that'll be taken care of.
Ew, I haven't met this person.
Well, then my recommendation, since this... presumably everyone's going to want to follow me after my recommendation. My social media recommendation would be my friend Christian Menzies. He's the bass player of the band Psychotica, and we are also working together on a interactive music project that's going to be released soon. So you should follow his stuff. It's really awesome. At Christian Menzies on Twitter.
How do you spell the last part? His last name?
I'm terrible at spelling, so let me just click over to his page. Menses.
Okay, so just like I thought it spelled. Okay, just to clarify for everybody. All right, cool.
So my recommendation is Sean Schick, and that is at Sean SEAN _ SCH ICK. Sean Schick. So I really recommend everybody follow Sean. And as soon as you follow him, you need to get onto Twitter and call him a jerk, because that's what you need to do. Because this is what Sean and I do. Sean and I go way back. He's one of the first people I connected with on Twitter. If he was not the first person on the enemy of the state list, he was very early. He is in the top three earliest people on enemy of the state list. But recently, he's really fun on Twitter, and somehow recently we've got it into what we call jerk wars, which are us basically going back and forth calling each other a jerk in as creative a way as possible. So it usually starts off with the fairly simple, you know, jerky jerk face and these types of things. And then, hey, the jerk store called and they want you back and that type of thing. And or if a tree falls in the forest and you're there, it falls on a jerk. That kind of thing is how we do the back and forth. So you need to follow Sean Schick and then just kind of call him a jerk. Because that's what we need to do. We need all of our nurture and support listeners, knitters or not, to be letting Sean know he's a jerk. So that's my recommendation for the week. He is actually very funny. It pains me to say. He will live tweet some sci-fi movies on occasion, and when he does, it's a treat because he's a clever guy. He's really funny. So he's a good follow in terms of humor, but you need to call him a jerk.
Just call him a jerk once for Kelly's sake.
That's right.
Then change sides. Sean's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's actually on the ultra enemies of the state list, as is Mike. So he got to.
Yeah.
Again, no, this is not yet.
I'm trying to get on the nemesis list.
That is a single person list, and I can't fully articulate why, but Jeans, our good friend Jeans, is on it from Bring Out Your Geek, and she has a history of being mean to me that keeps her very well ensconced in that role. But I did warn her the other day that some people are out for her title, so she's ready. Yay.
She can beat them down.
She's a worthy opponent. I'll give you that. So.
All right.
Well, you know, so we're going to have Matt back on, Mel, because we're going to have to get him to, Mike, for your background, Matt Shivers is a voiceover artist, amongst other things. And so we like to have him on the show. We pretend we like to have him on the show because he's interesting and all that, but we usually make him do stuff for us. Like, you know, could you do this? Could you say that? And so that we get all this nice material. And we're about to hand it off to him. He'll give all the particulars on how you can follow us. But we have to have him back on, Mel, so he can now add, now also available on Live 365's Loud and Loaded, which we're looking forward to.
Yeah, he'll love that. You see, you just tipped him off. Now he won't come back.
Yeah, he'll...
Like, I thought they were my friends.
Well, oh, he knows better.
He's also on one of the Enemy of the States list. Was, there might be a theme here. Everybody Kelly knows is on one of his hated enemies list.
Yep. Yeah. The theme's poor Kelly. I think that's the theme there. But we'll trick him. We'll be okay. So we may want to hurry and do it before the show airs, just so that we can sneak it out of him.
Yes.
But with that, we will actually hand it over to Matt here to give you folks the information on how you can get back with us. Want to thank Mike for joining us. It was great to have you on. Hope you'd be interested in coming back again.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm a fan of the show, so it was really cool to be on it.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's been fun. We haven't digressed this much in weeks.
This is a pretty epic digression one. Good stuff, though. Fun
yes,
stuff.
It's all fun, though. It's all good stuff people need to know.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to hand it over to Mike, and we will be back next week with do we want to tell them what next week is?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Next week, we're going to have a special episode. It is episode 52, and we're going to recap a few of our favorite recommendations that we each have given and our opposites. So you'll like it. I think it'll give a nice summary of the things that we've talked about over the last year. And the blog post will have a larger list than what we're going to talk about in the actual episode. But come back next week and you can get a nice little synopsis of all the things that we have really enjoyed over the last year. So we hope you will come listen.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's a year. That'll be our 1 year of nurture and support. It's been really fun, Mel, doing this with you. And it's always fun doing it with you every week. And then having folks like Mike and other folks doing it too makes it even better. So looking, you know, next week, we'll recap a couple of our favorite moments. And even do more on the blog there. And hope you can join us for that. So get on iTunes and rate us, too. That would be awesome. Please do that. And Matt will tell you all the rest of the stuff to do. So thanks again for listening.
Bye, everybody.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting giants.